This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
It's 8:07 on the West Coast. It's 10:07 in the Central Time Zone, where the All Marine Radio head chef is. He joins us through the magic of his new cell phone. No, is this on your cell phone or on your computer?
My cell phone.
Whoa, playing with the big kids. What's up with that?
Hey, everybody gets lucky once in a while.
So how do you like your new magical cell phone?
It's pretty cool.
What's the coolest thing about it?
Well, the fact that I can do Skype, the fact that I can take notes on it.
Oh, you got the little
on it with fingers.
You got the little pen thing?
I don't have a pen, no.
Oh, yeah.
My phone, you can write right on the screen
with your finger.
With my finger.
Wow, that's cool, huh?
Yeah, it is cool.
You know what? I use that note thing. I used it a lot last week. I'll use it in the middle of the night. But I have a pen, and so I just write. And because I know that I'll forget. And if I have some blinding flash of brilliance, which I often do, it helps if I write it down, because otherwise I'm like, oh, I know I have something brilliant, I just can't remember what it is. So anyway, so we haven't talked in a bit, man. How have you been? How's life? What's going on?
Pretty good. I went to the gym early today before the show.
Got rocked up?
Yeah, well, let's not get carried away here. But
curls for the girls, that.
After cardio rehab, I joined the Y. It's two blocks from my house, so it's real convenient to get to, and they've got everything that I need.
Did a girl could want. So that's good. So you got you're keeping your tush in shape. You're doing the Thigh Master. You got the whole thing going.
Yeah. It's too late for that shit.
Hey, listen to this. So in 2004, after the division attacks Fallujah, we get these pictures. It's like, we found these today. What should we do with them? It was a semi-tractor trailer that was unhitched from the truck, obviously, and it was full of Thigh Masters. Like, okay.
No way.
And I swear to God, like, I don't know who to ask even for this. I don't think General Mattis will probably take that well, but what do you do with a Thigh Master in the land of the burqa? I don't know. I don't think they belong there.
Oh God, that's funny. Jesus.
Anyway, so Thigh Master. Yes. All right, so you went to the gym. And so now you're ready for the day.
Got home and I'm finishing up, waiting for your call and letting the games begin. My weekend gets started. We got good football Sunday. Sewer in Omaha. The hockey team plays tonight on TV.
Now, can I ask you a question? I was talking to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and he was asking me, "Hey, he knows I used to live in North Dakota, right?" And I think he forgets I don't live there anymore. But anyway, he says, "Hey, I need a North Dakota State University football hat. He said, where do I get one? I said, I think you go on the internet. And he said, what? I said, I think you go on the internet. I said, look, I'm not a North Dakota State football guy. I'm a University of North Dakota hockey guy. And there was a time that you did not root for the other school in anything. It was the Hatfields and the McCoys. But that has since changed, right? Because everybody wants to be on that bandwagon, yes?
Yes. The only person that doesn't root for the Bison, the North Dakota State, when they play for the championship, which they have the last 8 years, and won 7 of them, is John Bonser.
I knew that. He is the most uptight white guy in the history of the planet. You could get the narrowest pin, and you couldn't shove it up his ass.
You couldn't even put a dime up his ass. His cheeks are so tight.
Yep. No, it ain't working. I knew before you even said it. But it is a principled stance. I will defend it by saying it is a principled stance. And at one point, the rivalry between the schools was so big, it was awesome. It was like Thunderdome. And you would never have thought that, you know, to root for the other school. But North Dakota State University football has been incredible. Has been absolutely positively incredible on a historic run in the FCS football championships. And they've won with, what, 3 different coaches now? So pretty amazing.
The last 2 coaches have won 8 titles between them.
Hello. Yeah, they do all right. They do all right. And you know what? And the North Dakotans love it because they don't have anything else. UND hockey, NDSU football. There are no professional sports. There's less than 1 million people in the state. Last person out, shut the light off, okay? And so you hear that kind of shit. And the fact
the Minneapolis teams have big L's stamped on their foreheads.
Oh, my God. And there's nothing. The hillbillies from North Dakota, there is nothing they like more than going down to the hoity-doity Twin Cities and just kicking their ass.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a big rivalry.
Oh my God.
They've got a new hockey coach down there.
They needed one. They needed one.
Wants to play North Dakota. The old one didn't.
Be careful what you wish for, bro. Yeah. So when the Gophers, which is the Golden Gophers of the University of Minnesota, right, when they come to Grand Forks in North Dakota, where the University of North Dakota plays, right? Like, dead Gophers are going on the ice. The crowd's going crazy, right? It's like, why are they going crazy when dead animals are thrown on the ice? This is farm country, man. They love this shit. So it's awesome. Honestly, you talk about great college rivalries, the hockey rivalries between...
you know, everybody's got a few frozen Gophers in their freezer in the bar. So...
Well, let me tell you, I had a part in a Badger actually getting thrown on the ice. I won't name names, right, because of the statute of limitations, but I mused on the air one day that, you know what, there hasn't been as many animals getting thrown on the ice at the new building as there was at the old building. In fact, I don't remember any, and Wisconsin's coming. Now, a Badger is like a medium-sized dog, right? So... I'm opining about this during the week, and on Friday the secretary comes back after I got off the air. The secretary comes back and says, "Mac, there's 2 women out here to see you." I said, "Okay." Do they asked to speak to me? Yes. I said, "Is it business?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Okay." So I walk out and I said, "Hi, I'm Mike." And they're like, "We know who you are." And they said, "Come with us. We have something for you." Now, these are 2 women. They were at their cabin, I think closing it up for the winter, Stump Lake. They shoot and kill a badger with a rifle. They take the badger, they put it on ice, and they bring it to me. "We heard you talking about this." I went, and they open the ice chest, and I look, here's Mr. Dead Badger on ice. And I'm like, ooh. Uh-oh. I said, "Okay, here, can you bring that over here by the building?" And so I got a bag, and they put We dumped the ice and the badger, the dead badger in there. So then I went about the process of Operation Flying Badger. And on Halloween night at the hockey game, the badger flew onto the ice. Onto the ice. And
remember, when you throw that badger, it's not a light little, like a squirrel. And you have to throw it over the glass, which is about 10 feet tall.
It was no small feat, honestly. And this thing hit the ice, and the place goes crazy. In fact, it winds up, the badgers had got introduced, it winds up flying over the heads of the officials, hits the ice, and it slides in front of the badger players, right? And the place is going crazy. I heard later that you know, like the guys who take care of the ice, they open the door, and then on the radios, they were getting yelled at, leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Don't touch it for a few minutes. Oh, my God. So North Dakota people, right, they have a chip on their shoulder because they always get made fun of. And then when you come and play their sports team and they kick your ass, they love it. So pretty funny. Pretty funny. So anyway. So they're playing hockey this weekend, and they're always pretty good, and always fun to watch. They're fast and violent, which is, we love that. So,
yes.
So anyway, and we know Kim and I having the best restaurant in town. The coaches would eat there all the time, and the coaches are friends of mine, and they're great guys, funny guys, great guys. So we got a chance to know them. They'd come on my show all the time. But Kim's place was a place to hang out after games. And the visiting teams would eat there before games and things like that. So Kim, quite the mecca of hockey in Grand Forks, North Dakota, to include the World Junior Tournament. When Wayne Gretzky hung out at Kim's place, and he forced Kim to keep his restaurant open after hours, which is illegal. Hello?
He didn't force me. He asked me, and I.
Well, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to the great one? I can't.
So we're supposed to close at 2:00. About 3:00, a cop taps on the window, and I open the door and let him in. He says, "Damn!" He looks up and he sees Gretzky, and he says, "Would you guys please move to the back and turn the front lights out?" And he spun around and walked out.
Hey, Kim, that's good community policing, though, yes?
Well, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on. That's Officer O'Malley. Hey, boys, can you move to the back and shut the front light off?
Yep.
Yes, Officer O'Malley. Thank you.
Yeah. And I asked him, Kim.
And then Officer O'Malley says,
"Lights down."
I get off at 4:00, boys. Leave the back door open.
Yeah, that's happened too.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, well, that those were great. They were here for, I think, 10 days for the World Juniors, and just packed every night. And Greg Lotus was the host for the Canadian team. They ate there 3 times during that stretch, and it was lots of fun. And the Swiss team ate there once, and I just enjoyed the heck out of it.
I was talking to Greg last week or the week before, and he told me, so Greg, born Thunder Bay, he's an American citizen, played for the Jets, injured his knee. As an offensive lineman, had it operated on, the operation got infected, and he's been permanently disabled, walks with a cane ever since. He's a great guy. He's got a little bit of an anger issue, but we're working on that. And he's gigantic. He's like 6'5" and about 350 pounds. His dad is just as big, and they're funny. So Greg told me that there was, I want to say, 4 first-round draft choices, Sidney Crosby, John Taves, and there was, I can't remember everybody who was on that team. He said the sticks he has that are signed by those guys have been appraised at, like, over $10,000.
Wow.
I said, I hope you have them locked up or your kids will be using them to play, you know, hockey in the driveway and you'll come home and want to kill them. He says, no, I've locked them up from those hammerheads. The somebody sent me an email. I'll read it later. Here's a cooking email. Hey, Mac, I think I remember hearing that the chef is a hot dog fan. What kind of hot dogs does he buy, and what's his favorite way to prepare them? Okay, so what do you buy?
Well, we have a local butcher, and I buy a natural casing hot dog, and then I steam the bun and I steam the hot dog, and then
explain steaming a hot dog. So it's the pan's filled with like a half inch of water, and you throw the hot dog in there, and is that how you steam a hot dog? If I do,
yeah. Well, usually, like a ballpark hot dog, they have this perforated holes. In the bottom, and there's water underneath that, and that creates the steam.
But I thought they boiled those hot dogs first, and then the steam was keeping them hot.
Well, no, that's not to my knowledge, but they probably do. You've been around more ballparks than I have.
I never saw them throw
them in boiling water, but the buns have to be steamed,
right,
for me, or absolutely just came out of the bakery.
Pour vous.
And then you put your condiments on it. My favorite is mustard, onions, and a little bit of pickle relish.
Mustard,
and that's it.
Onion, throw a little ketchup on there, and you're good to go.
No ketchup.
Unbelievable.
That's the Antichrist.
Hold on. So you'd rather have it grilled? I mean, you'd rather have it steamed than grilled?
For a hot dog, yes. However, what I like to do with bratwurst.
No, we're not talking about bratwurst. We're talking about hot dogs. So you don't like a little bit of that black skin on your dog with some mustard and onions on it? That you prefer steaming?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Just a plain dog, but I tell you what, if somebody hands me a grilled hot dog, I'll sure in the heck eat it.
You're not going to stand it back and say no thank you?
Absolutely the worst thing in the world for a human body, but
we really care about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm still here and still eat hot dogs.
you're living testament to it. Okay.
Yes. But one thing, I don't eat hot dogs so much anymore, except during the 4th of July, and the local butcher shop makes a foot long hot dog, and the bakery does foot-long buns just for this time of the year. And, man, that's deluxe.
Kim, have you – things you don't hear people say, this hot dog tastes like shit, I'm not eating it. I eat them too much. If I buy them, I'll eat them too much. Because to me they're fast food, what I'll do – is I'll put them in the microwave for 40 seconds and explode the hot dog, and then I put the bun in for 8 seconds, so it feels like it's been steamed, and then boom, and then knock that thing out. I could eat those things all day long.
It's tragic, but it's true. I'm the same way, Mac. It's a pretty good. And you just can't sit down and eat one hot dog.
Oh, come on. Like, what are we, barbarians? Of course not.
Yeah, come on.
A bunch of yokels? No. I'm trying to think. So my preferred way to eat a hot dog, this is going to sound really, you know, white trash, but I like the hot dog out of the microwave. And Kim has taught me is that's what you like. That's what you are. What you is. So don't be afraid of it. So I know it sounds ghetto, but I like it. I like it. I think I'd rather have that than steamed or blackened on the grill, a charbroiled on the grill. Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, you are steaming it in a microwave pretty much with the juices of the hot dog. It's called an inner steam.
All right, here's another trick question. Speaking of hot dogs, I'm going to be involved in a little bit of a family chili cook-off. I have a bit of my own recipe. Are there a couple hints that the chef could give me so I could crush my brother-in-law, who I don't even like? Yeah, Kim will help you out. A couple secret ingredients for his recipe.
For chili?
Yes.
Make sure you have enough New Mexico red chili powder and enough cumin in there to give it that cowboy Southwest flavor in the chili.
I don't like Southwest. I like tomato. Are you a tomato guy or no tomato guy in your chili?
Well, my chili has no tomatoes in it, but you take ancho chilies that are dried, you reconstitute it. They're red chilies.
How can you have chili without tomato? I don't get that.
Because cowboys didn't have chilies on the plains when they were getting up doggies.
You're not a cowboy, though.
But I'm just telling you how Texas chili is.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, my wife makes tremendous chili with tomatoes and beans, because she likes kidney beans and navy beans, a white bean and a red bean.
Yeah.
And I like to have her throw some black beans in the chili.
Ooh.
So kind of a mixture of flavors of beans, and you use the best crushed tomatoes you can get and just dump them in and cook it. If you're having is it a competition, did you say?
That's what he said. Well, not like a legitimate competition. It's a family event where he and his brother-in-law are going to square off on who makes the best chili.
Well, if it's allowed, make it the day before.
Oh.
And then it, because all those flavors, you cook it and you simmer it, you bring it to almost a boil, then you simmer it for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then you shut it off, let it come to room temperature, put it in the fridge, and then slowly heat it up, add a little bit of beer, half a beer when you're warming it up, usually a light beer, a pilsner, not a light beer, but a pilsner. And then when you dress it, when you serve it, make sure your onions are diced fine. And then you have a mixture of cheddar cheese and jack cheese grated, combined together.
Yeah. What about sour cream?
And sour cream, a bowl of sour cream, if you want, and you can even chop a little chives up in there with the sour cream or have it separate. You definitely have to have white onions diced, yellow onions diced.
Why white onions? Can you taste the difference between
yellow onions? Not the Spanish white onion, just a regular yellow onion that you buy in the store. That's all. I don't like red onions. It's too sweet a flavor. I like the white onions, because once that blends with the hot chili, and if you're real butch, then you want to dice up some jalapenos and have that as a condiment, or cook with them. Put them in your chili.
Yeah.
And give it some heat.
Man up.
That's what I would do, you know.
That's good.
If you're moving. And if you want it real hot, you dice them up and leave the seeds in. If you don't want to burn somebody's head off, then you take the seeds out.
You know what, it's Patrick? You know what Patrick has taken a liking to. We buy them at the store, in the butcher section. But they are stuffed green peppers.
Yeah.
Wrapped with bacon. So it's a green pepper with cream cheese in it and bacon wrapped around it. Oh,
yeah.
My God. You're talking about an above average little something to accompany your steak? Muy delicioso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you really want to just flash it back to a hot dog, you take a piece of bacon and you wrap it around the bacon and then you throw that on the grill and cook that hot dog wrapped in bacon, or you can drop it in a deep fryer if you have it.
You know what?
And
chili on a cold day? Come on, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, chilly right now, 30 below zero outside, so it's chill. Chilly is right in my wheelhouse today.
Yeah, it's making me hungry thinking about it, right? Chilly with some melted cheese on top of it, a little onion, a little sour cream.
Yep, you got it.
And when it's cold, come on, it's the best. Here's another one. Hot dogs and chili. Why does that always sound so good to me? And I'm still 3.5 hours away from lunch, but I'm salivating sitting at my desk thinking of downing a couple dogs with a hot cup of chili with some cheddar cheese and sour cream dropped on the top of it. Where do I go find such a delicacy? I don't know that Deriner Schnitzel is the place.
I forgot about the Wiener Schnitzels.
You know what? I've never eaten there.
Oh God, that's it. Are they still an A-frame?
Yes, of course. Is there any other way for them to be?
I don't know. It's been so long since I lived in California. So that's great. That's just. You made my day. Wiener Schnitzel ribs.
Wiener Schnitzel. We did a program once about, I don't know how we got to talking about Bob's Big Boy one day. And, you know, the first time you ever had, you know, the Big Boy, which was the forerunner to the Big Mac, complete with a little bit of, Thousand Island dressing knockoff on that. And you were like, whoa, this is a delicacy, but Frisch's Big Boy. It was Frisch's Big Boy and Bob's Big Boy, and I think that they were the same. The Big Boy chain was the same.
It's in Ohio. Bob's Big Boy was all over the Midwest.
Yeah, we got a map out one day. So is Deriner Schnitzel still in? Are they still in business? I think there's one close to me. Weinerschnitzel. Is that how you spell it? Deriner Schnitzel. I'll come close. I spelled it right. Yes, they're in business. There's one close to me.
You go check it out. You got to go check it out when you report back.
I do. Started in 1961. Specializes in hot dogs, also known as the world's largest hot dog chain. They're found predominantly in California and Texas. Others are located in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Louisiana, New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, and Washington. There's also stores located in Guam, and there's one in Panama. The chain is recognizable by the A-frame style roofs of its older restaurants, similar to the original structures used by IHOP, Tasty Freeze, Nickerson Farms, and Whataburger. I've never heard of Nickerson Farms and Whataburger. Have you?
No, not Nickerson Farm. I might have seen one time. I just don't remember it though.
I love these kind of impromptu things we get into. Listen to this. The first Wiener Schnitzel was founded by a former Taco Bell employee, John Gilardi, who died in 2013. When Gilardi came to California at the age of 19, he landed his first job from Glenn Bell, who would go on to later establish Taco Bell. Who knew, right? I'd love this show. In 1962, Bell initially hired him on a part-time basis for 50 cents an hour at a taco store called Tacotilla. Eventually, Gilardi entered into a partnership agreement to run the store. At one point, Bell borrowed $6,000 from Gilardi, but was unable to pay the loan back. He offered to sell the store to Gilardi for $12,000. Gilardi borrowed some money from his parents, laid off all the employees at the restaurant, and he worked alone and eventually secured enough money to purchase the store. A couple years later, a man wanted to recruit Gilardi to start his own restaurant at a location on the Pacific Coast Highway in Wilmington, which is kind of near Long Beach, next to one of Bell's taco stores. Bell encouraged him to take the man up on the offer, but to sell another kind of food. Gilardi decided to sell hot dogs since nobody else was in hot dogs. According to Gilardi, his wife came up with the name after looking through a cookbook. He was initially skeptical of the name, saying, "I told my wife nobody in their right mind would call a company Wiener Schnitzel." 3 days later, he said, "Hell, it's better than John's Hot Dogs." And he started the company. The first store opened in 1961. It was a hot dog stand at 900 West Pacific Coast Highway, east of Figueroa Street in the Los Angeles community of Wilmington. And there you have everything you ever wanted to know about Wiener Schnitzel. How about that? He died of pancreatic cancer in 2013. So there you have it. There you have it, the history of Wiener Schnitzel. You know what, Kim? That's kind of your deal, though, right? You want to have, before you check out, you want to have a hot dog stand.
Yes, I do. I do. And now you see hot dogs, the way they make them, and like a Seattle dog is a hot dog with cream cheese on it.
Ooh.
And onions and mustard and stuff.
Cream cheese?
And
I don't know that that would
cream,
be good.
That's Seattle.
Yeah, no, go there. They're a little bit different up there.
Yep, but I watch the Food Channel, and every once in a while they'll have hot dogs, and they'll where I heard about wrapping a hot dog in a bacon, putting a toothpick in there, and dropping it in a deep fryer, and loading it up. You know, you put chili on the hot dog. You know. It's phenomenal.
It is.
What you could do.
The hot dog. one of my friend Napa Man. Napa Man recently had his cover blown. Yeah, he was lifting in a gym in San Clemente, so he's still on active duty, so we referred to him by his code name, Napa Man. So he's in a gym. Yeah. He's in a gym in San Clemente, and he sees a guy who he used to work with at Camp Pendleton. And the guy now works for, I think, the LA Sheriff's Department. And so they see each other, and the guy comes over and goes, "Hey, man, how's it going?" And my friend says, "Good." And he says, he looks at him and he goes, "You're Napa Man." And my friend's like, he's like, "What? How do you know? You don't know that? How do you know?" And he goes, "Hey, I listen to All Marine Radio, man. It's awesome."
That's great.
What compromise. Napa Man, our OPSEC on this program sometimes is not what it should be. So we're going to try to shore that up. Anyway, Napa Man, to say he loves to eat would not really do the sentiment justice. Okay? He, when he talks about food, He gets so excited, and he literally starts to glow. There's like an aura that comes around him, like around Christ's head after the Pentecost, right? After the Holy Spirit depended on, he has the same glow when he's talking about food. And so, in fact, he sent me like a 2-page email. He went back early when we were in Afghanistan. He came back at 8 months, and so he was up in Napa, and he was eating cereal with whole milk, and he wrote me like a 2-page email about it, and I read that to everybody. It was really funny. So Napa man is listening right now, and he says, the Der Wiener Schnitzel is alive and well. I know there's one in Corona, California for sure. So I send a text, have you eaten there? Question mark. Response, come on, bro. He told me once that he could literally drink a pitcher of Cracker Barrel gravy that goes on chicken fried steak. He could drink it by the pitcher. He would order a pitcher of Cracker Barrel chicken fried steak gravy. That he likes it so much.
And you know, one of the criminal acts that restaurants make when they serve you chicken fried steak, they never give you enough gravy. When you get biscuits and gravy, there's never enough gravy. God.
And you know, people do that with salad dressing now too. It's like, look, if I wanted to eat lettuce, right? You know, I'd order lettuce, okay? I want to eat salad, which means it's got to be soaked in salad dressing, okay? So your one little, like, dinky-ass salad dressing thing? Come on, dog.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of chicken shit is that, right?
Yeah. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I hate it.
I mean, and I always ask for extra salad dressing. You know, because if you order a salad, they bring these little cups. Little 1 ounce cups of dressing. Yeah. What do you want me to do? Put this behind my ear?
Yeah, what do you want? Use this for cologne? What do you want me to do with this?
Yeah.
It's stupid. And they do that everywhere now. Everything's like portion controlled and all that bullshit. The he just said that he thinks he's related to you, that you and he have similar DNA.
I think he's right.
Brothers from another mother. When he talks about food, he gets serious, right? It's like you can mess around.
I'd sit down at the table and break bread with him.
Oh my God. We had Thanksgiving in Afghanistan. And we all kind of worked it so we could go together, which is something that we normally couldn't do. Because, you know, for instance, one air officer is sleeping while the other one's working. And so he can't leave, because if you got to kill somebody, you need the air officer. Well, most of the time you do. And then, and different people are doing different things. So we kind of coordinated, so we all got to eat together on Thanksgiving. And he's like, I think he was levitating when he has this big drumstick in his hand. And I think he's actually levitated off the metal bench that we were sitting on. He was so excited for Thanksgiving. But, you know, Thanksgiving is, right? If you're an eater, Thanksgiving is your day because it's only devoted to family and eating and eating and eating and eating.
Yep, that's right.
So
that's right. And then you watch some football and you eat some more.
We, in fact, Colleen and I went down and had dinner there a few months ago. And, you know, so he's going to grill these steaks. And they're like Fred Flintstone, like brontosaurus steaks, okay? And Colleen says, she's talking to his two daughters that are younger than Colleen. And Colleen says, oh, my God, those steaks are really big. And they both said, yeah, my dad's like really likes steaks. This is the third time this week we've had them.
No way.
Yes. Yes. He's got cholesterol like squirting out of his ears. Kish, kish. Hey, what's coming out of Napa Man's ears? That's cholesterol. But no, he does love food. Let's see. Here's another email. Hold on. Stand by. Can we talk condiment tyranny for a second? Can the chef explain to us why they do that? Did he do that in his restaurant? Because it seems to me, if your profit margin is that narrow that you have to slash the condiment distribution, then you're going out of business soon, son. You might as well pack that shit up right now. That is a good point. The condiment tyranny is a joke.
It is. And I'll take an example. The wedge salad.
You love the wedge.
The wedge salad, if you ordered a wedge salad in my place, you got a quarter head of lettuce. You got about 3 to 4 ounces of blue cheese dressing run across the wedge being the top, the point, and then starts at one side of the plate and goes to the other. And then there are bits of bacon sprinkled on there. And if you want Thousand Island dressing on your wedge or whatever salad, you get dressing. And if you want more, bring it on. How much do you want? I never copped an attitude like that. I just thought that was so lame.
It is lame.
And I just, look, I fed people like I like to be fed.
That ain't skimpy either.
No. And, I had several cuts of prime rib. I had an 8 ounce, and a 12 ounce. And then if somebody was, I knew him, I said, do you want the Bubba cut? And they'd say, yes, yeah, can I have a Bubba cut?
What is a Bubba cut?
Bubba cut is at least a pound. It's 16 to 20 ounce slice of prime rib. And then you'd get a little bowl of the horseradish sauce, not a little cup full. Not a little souffle cup full of it, which is enough for one bite. And then the restaurant reviewer, Marilyn Haggerty, she would have like a 4 to 6 ounce cut of prime rib. And I'd shave a piece off for her, and that's perfect for her. But of course. You have to feed people if they're hungry, and you can't slack off on the condiments.
Just because you're going out of business, why is that my problem? I came to eat, right? Cry me a river, okay? Hey,
you don't go out of business. You charge for it.
Well, then why do they do it? I mean, because now everybody does it. You get a salad, and it's like, here's one. Oh, I got to ask you for another one? That's stupid. Can I have some more dressing so I can eat the food I just bought? They're a jackass.
I did that, and they charged me 75 cents for another little cup of dressing.
Really?
Yeah, really. Needless to say, I said something. And my wife just starts squirming in her seat, and you charging me for this? Oh, yes, sir. She's squirming. She just gives me a shot in the thigh.
Don't say it.
Don't even go there, is what she said. Don't even go there. And so I didn't because and that's another reason that I'm not in the restaurant business is because the purveyors that supply you with the product, the raw product, you know, their prices go up 5 to 8% every year, and you can't raise your menu prices 5 to 8% a year, and so
you eat it.
You eat it.
So where do you make it, where do you make it up then?
The reason I was successful also was that I owned my building. I didn't pay some exorbitant amount of rent.
Right.
I had a mortgage payment for my building, and that was the game changer there for me.
Well, but truth be told, Kim's after a flood, Kim's business became the anchor business to get people to go back down, and that was, and people, like, we'd be doing the radio show, and people would call up, and they're like, "You got that building for free," and it was like, "Hello, idiot!" Right? Downtown was going to be empty. They made the deal with him to get him back down to lure other people. Capiche? Or are you too stupid to understand that's how things work?
And because people complained, I still paid, you know, a decent amount, you know, 20 grand for that building, where other people got buildings for a dollar.
Yeah, no shit.
Because
they didn't even redevelop them. They just held on to them.
They held on to them. They became bottom. But the thing about coming back downtown was you can't forget that after you got a few years of tax credits, you're paying $10,000 a year of property tax. Hello, you know, that's a good business move by the city. And after all the years that I was in there before I sold it, from 2000 to 2015, $10,000 a year, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
That's 150 grand.
I know, but you're tunned up, so, I mean, no big deal, right?
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that the city, you know, got their, they got their money. Yeah, well, they gave you.
Wait a minute. Are you denying? So you didn't even deny.
I'm not.
You didn't even deny being tunned up.
No, because I'm so fucking tunned up.
Wait, Mac, you stupid. Hold on. Let me.
I have the most expensive walker money can buy.
Hey, have you seen those walkers on wheels with handbrakes and you can, like, put a cocktail in them? Have you seen those things?
Yeah. That's the one I'm getting.
Those things are awesome.
It's got a seat in there.
Yeah.
It's got handbrakes. I mean, it's very smart.
It's like who's the pimp with that? Like, yeah, what's up? You know, it has a light on it. And as Kim said, so you stand up. It's like it's got like handlebars, and so you just walk normally with the thing in front of you. And if you get tired, you can turn around. It's got a little canvas seat right in front of you. Right,
and it's got a little basket in the front.
Yeah, there's a drink holder, and I saw one that had a place for your cell phone, so you can watch the ball game when you're going for a walk. But that's probably not a good idea. If you trip over the sidewalk, you'll smash your face. But you know what? If you do that, you'll be having a good time while you're doing it. So who gives a shit? that thing is sweet.
What?
I saw that and I was like, that's a good idea. Because, you know, you see people with walkers and they take a step and then they move the walker and they take a step and then this thing like glides smooth like Snoop Dogg.
And it's got big rubber wheels.
Yeah.
I'll chrome mine.
In case there's girls looking at you. Oh, by the way, if you didn't see Snoop Dogg doing play by play for the LA Kings the other night.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. First of all, he's a funny dude, okay? And he's a huge sports fan. If you want to see some funny stuff, look up Snoop Dogg Pittsburgh Steelers. and watch the videos that he makes when he's pissed at the Steelers. They are absolutely hilarious, okay? Because he's like a sports fan. And so, yeah, he was doing color commentary for the Kings the other night for about 5 minutes. Oh, my God. It was. And you know one of the things he said about hockey? At one point he stops and guys started to get into it. They didn't actually drop the gloves and go. But they were getting into it. And they were like discussing whether they should. And he was like, come on now, drop, let's go, let's do this. And then they didn't fight. And he said, you know what I love about hockey? You got to be 100% man to play this game. This game. This game is not for sissies. He said, now look, I don't care if you're a sissy. I'm just saying that this, oh my God, it's funny. It's too funny. There's much interest in the Bubba cut. Can you go into a little bit more detail relative to the Bubba cut?
Well, the Bubba cut is it's something I came up with a friend of ours' son was named Bubba. And he came in one night and he asked me, I'm really, really hungry. Could I have a bigger cut? And I said, oh, you want the Bubba cut? And he started laughing. He says, really? Can I have one? I said, sure can. Tell me when to stop. And I had my knife and he was looking at it and I kept moving it up the front rim and he stopped and I cut it off and it was well over a pound of prime rib.
Whoa! Now you have to understand in North Dakota they roll big, okay?
Like, yeah.
Let me tell you jeans that you don't see in North Dakota. Skinny leg jeans? Yeah, they don't wear those up there, okay? They wear it starts with husky. Like husky is normal. For guys in Minnesota and North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, North Dakota. They big boys, right? And let me tell you, if you want to know the secret to why North Dakota State University got good really fast, right? They recruit the big fat ankle guys that live in the Midwest. They're farm kids from small towns.
Parents own farms.
Right. And they would recruit those guys, and their offensive and defensive line would go over 300 pounds. So they would go down and play Big Ten teams. And they held their own. They weren't as deep as those teams in the first few years. But because they had guys going over 300 pounds and going to the NFL, you know, they could compete with, you know, Big Ten teams, you name it, Big 12 teams. So, yeah, fat guys, Minnesota, North Dakota, man. And they know how to roll, man. They know how to roll fat. They know how to roll fat. So they're not...
all the Midwest guys, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, you know.
Yeah, it's the same life. It's the same lifestyle, man. Right? We go deer hunting. We go to the walleye opener. We farm, yeah. Right? And the rest of during the winter, we're out in the shed fixing stuff, which is code for we're drinking beer and doing kind of goofing off.
And or we're sitting on a block of ice fishing.
Yeah, that's the other. That's the other, which means, yeah, ice fishing is code for we're going to go hang out in a shed and get drunk all weekend. So,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
You should hear some of the stories. I used to have the game wardens on. Oh, we're out of time. I used to have the game wardens on, the stories they would tell when they would go knock on an ice fishing shed, open it, drugs everywhere, everybody drunk. Like, what's going on here, boys? Hi, this is Marlon. I'm the DNR. Minnesota has a DNR, Department of Natural Resources. I'm the DNR guy. Oh, Marlon, what's up, dude? Could you shut the door? It's only 30 below outside. Boys, I think you're coming to Bemidji with me. Anyway. All right, what are you doing this weekend? Anything fun?
Well, just going to watch some hockey and got some football games on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
who are you picking? Real quick, give me your picks as you go out the door.
I'm going to pick Kansas City.
Oh.
And I'm going to pick New Orleans.
You meant Kansas City or Kansas City?
Kansas. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs over the Patriots.
Oh.
And they're playing in about 25-degree weather outside in
Kansas City, right?
Kansas City. And
25 is not that cold, okay? Right? Anything above 10 is okay. All right, as long as the wind's not blowing. What about the other game? Saints and
Saints and the Rams.
That's going to be a great one, right?
That'll be a good one. I think they're both going to be high scoring.
Okay, who are you picking?
I'm going to pick New Orleans.
Oh, Drew Brees. All right, man. First of all, fun show today. Thank you.
I always enjoy talking to you, and I do have fun. Thank you for the session.
All right, you're welcome. Same time next week. I'm pretending I'm a shitty therapist. Same time next week.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Tim, have a good week.
Check. All right. Here, Cash.
All right. See you later.
And don't forget to eat at a wiener schnitzel this week.
No, you know what? I'm going to have to suck it up and go to one. I'll do that. We'll do that. All right. I will report next week.
All right. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
All right. See you.
What are you doing?
I'm working, actually. I'm writing a script for the post-traumatic winning thing. We kind of had an outline, but I think it needs to be more deliberate because we can make it better. But the first thing we have to do is define what we do. And so we got to put that thing on paper and then say, okay, this needs to be shortened. You got to hit these time hacks. So I'll be writing that this weekend.
The pieces you sent me yesterday were magnificent, Mac.
Yeah.
And I'm just thrilled that you're getting into it and continuing it and enriching everyone's lives.
It's very humbling. It's very humbling. You've been around for a lot of that stuff, and so it's very gratifying that you can, you know, hopefully continue to, and we will, to be honest with you. I've already seen email this morning that people are now hearing around it. Marines, commanders, general types around the world are hearing about it, and they're saying, we are absolutely interested. We will be in touch. We'll make it happen. So, because the commandant said he'd pay for it. I'll pay for it. Let us know. So no, it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. So.
Congratulations, Matt. You hit your wheelhouse, baby.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
There you have it. The All Marine Radio. Head Chef, Kim Holmes. All right. Don't touch that dial. The Gunner joins us next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.